where family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show.
All because the gays are getting married. That is why people die and children go unfed. When I'm sad and alone and I'm wondering just why everything about my life is feeling like it's going down a toilet bowl, it's good to know it's cause the gays.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So more gay baiting, more nonsense, more, you know, this is the thing that infuriates me. I mean, we've got so many problems in this country. We've got declining wages. We've got schools that are crumbling. We've got an education system in major turmoil. We've got serious problems in this country, and yet there are those political leaders who will dangle the shiny thing in front of us and distract us from what's really important, what's really going on. To me, you want to solve the problem with transgender people needing to go to bathrooms? It's simple. You make all the bathrooms individual ones. Problem solved. But we're not about solving problems. It's about scoring political points. And of course, being able to discriminate and shaft workers. So I look at what's going on down in North Carolina. Again, more distraction, more destruction, and just go, you know, just insanity, which is why we've asked Mary B. McMillan. She's the Secretary Treasurer of the North Carolina AFL-CIO to come talk to us, fill us in on what this House Bill 2 really is and what's going on behind it. Mary B., thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate you bringing some attention to this horrible law that we've got now in North Carolina.
So this is just nuts to me. I mean, there are so many other things that we should be and need to be dealing with. Is this a priority for the people of your state?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's crazy that at a time when our elected officials should be doing all they can to create jobs and get more people employed, that they were actually wasting taxpayer money to create a law that's going to make it easier to discriminate and fire people. And in the process, they're driving business out of our state because these corporations don't want to do business in a state that condones discrimination.
Now, as I understand it, maybe you can walk me through it. As I understand, the city of Charlotte passed a non-discrimination ordinance, and this is kind of the reaction to that to make it really to have the state take control away from the local governments, which, again, the Republicans tell us that they believe in local control. I guess this bears that out, that they really don't. But am I getting this right? This is kind of that response?
That's right. They convened this special session in response to the city of Charlotte passing an ordinance that said that employers that contract with the city can't discriminate in hiring based on sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as, you know, adding that to the list of other protected characteristics like race, age, and gender. And this new ordinance also allowed transgendered people to use the restroom of their choice. So our Republican state legislature, as you said, they're supposedly, you know, the party of individual rights and limited government and local control, but they convened a special session at a cost to taxpayers of $42,000 a day to dictate which bathrooms people have to use, but they didn't stop there. They took away the rights of local government to require employers to provide wages, benefits, or safety protections that are greater than what our state law allows. And keep in mind that our state law sets a really low bar in those areas.
Right.
Now, our state minimum wage is the federal minimum wage. It's $7.25. We have no state law requiring paid sick leave. And they didn't just stop there. To make matters even worse, legislators took away private sector workers' right to sue in state court for discrimination in employment practices.
Wow.
So North Carolina now joins Mississippi as one of only two states in the country that bar all lawsuits in state court for employment discrimination. So now people in North Carolina who are fired because they're an African American, a woman, or even a Christian, they have no right to sue in state court.
So where do they go?
They have to go to federal court, which is hard for working people to win justice at the federal level because It's a higher cost to file a claim. There are more burdensome administrative requirements, and there's a shorter deadline to bring the claim. So this bill is about much more than bathrooms. This bill is a slap in the face to all working people.
Yet all we heard in the news and all we saw splashed across the headline was the discrimination part of it. This is really much, much worse, and affects, I would argue, probably a lot of the people who may have supported doing away with the bathroom part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people don't realize what's really in this bill because, you know, the media, the right wing, they're all focused on, you know, this scary bathroom issue.
Yeah, and to me, that really isn't an issue to me that would be all that difficult to solve. I mean, honestly, you create unisex bathrooms. Seems logical, seems reasonable. I'm not a bright guy, but I can figure that one out for myself.
Yeah, this bill wasn't about logic or reason.
And that's the thing that bothers me, Mary B., is our politics now don't seem to be about logic or reason. It's just about scoring points for our team. And we've moved into this bizarre kind of team sport world where my team wins and you have to lose.
Correct. And, you know, what's crazy is we're seeing a real corporate backlash because companies don't want to do business in a state that condones discrimination and, you know, takes away the rights of its LGBT citizens. And, you know, unlike Georgia, where the Republican governor responded to corporate pressure and vetoed their discriminatory law, our governor has no backbone at all. He quickly signed the bill, and he is now lamely trying to defend it. We've already had a lawsuit filed, so, you know, potentially our state's going to spend who knows how much more taxpayer money to trying to defend this. So, you know, in the meantime, we're going to work to educate our members and the public about what's really in this law. We're going to try and work to repeal it in the normal session that's going to convene in a month. And most importantly, we're going to use this issue to really try and turn out the labor vote in support of candidates this fall who will protect workers from all forms of discrimination.
Yeah, but at the end of this has to become that kind of issue. But, you know, as I've been saying for a very long time, Mary B., when does the anger of the working class of this country translate into making conditions better? I mean, I look at what's going on at the presidential level, and you definitely have working class anger on, you know, both political sides of the spectrum. And yet it just doesn't seem like we're moving. Maybe you see it, but we're not seeing movement in the direction of solving these problems. It seems more about deepening divisions.
Well, there certainly is deepening division, and you see that in the rhetoric we're hearing, especially in the presidential race. But I think that, you know, if especially in the union movement, if we, you know, work together to educate our members about the importance of voting for candidates who try and unite working people and not divide them so that we can take on corporate greed, so that we can create better jobs with higher wages, then I think when you really start talking to people and people have one-on-one conversations, so we can channel that anger in a productive way so that we can make a real difference in November.
Yeah, I'm with you. But at the end of the day, I look at this and to me, there's so much that needs to be done, and in such a short period of time, that I'm hoping the organizing is going on, and I'm hoping that, you know, some of this craziness kind of pulls back. Because I'll be honest with you, I fear what my children move into in the coming years.
I fear that too. You know, what's going to happen for the next generation if we don't take action now? But I'm optimistic because I think that together we can really make a difference.
So what should we be doing on this front? Is there a way that we can help? I saw over the weekend, the news just kind of blew up. And I remember reading the stories going, yeah, this is such a waste of time. But, you know, it's what we have to defend now.
I think you're doing us a great service right now by having this on the radio, because we really do need people to understand what's in this law and how it hurts all working people and how it allows, you know, employers and businesses to discriminate against people and, you know, takes away the rights of people to seek remedy in state court. I think that it's critical that we get that message out there. And I think that, you know, here locally, it's incumbent upon all of us to make sure that, you know, our members and working class folks know, you know, who voted for this, and hopefully we'll take them to task in November.
So let me ask you a last line of questioning, because I think the bigger point out of this is, you know, as we've talked about, Charlotte, you know, put some regulations in place that would have said, hey, we need to pay a decent wage. We need to raise conditions up. Don't you think a national conversation has to be had that if we're going to spend our tax dollars, it should be about making people's lives better, not just in what they're doing, but also as part of the economy and setting a higher standard, a higher floor for working people in this country?
Absolutely. We need to be raising the floor. And, you know, it's unfortunate that our state legislature is taking away the ability of local municipal officials to raise the floor for workers in their city.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing to me. But here again, what's going on in North Carolina, not unique to North Carolina. I mean, I look at Alabama did the same thing with the minimum wage. Birmingham passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. The state says, no, you local people, you local community, you can't do it. We know better. And they overturned it here in Pennsylvania. You know, years ago they did it. You can't raise the minimum wage in towns or cities across the Commonwealth because the state, our state Republicans said, hey, no local control, which, again, just blows my mind. But anyway, if there's anything we can do to help out, we'd be more than happy to. And I appreciate the time, Mary B.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
It was great talking with you, Mary B. McMillan, Secretary Treasurer of the North Carolina AFL-CIO. Quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Man, brother firefighters, my friend. And the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not gonna break tonight. And we're not gonna bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around. And everybody said, this is a union town. A union town. All down the line. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.